Jeff Dunham is coming on Saturday.
Jeff Dunham.
And he was pretty young the first time he showed up on The Tonight Show. What kind of night was it for Jeff Dunham?
I can't answer that. You have to ask Jeff. Yeah. But I can tell you it was in 1990. I know that. And I think you have a clip of the show. And the thing that's different about The Tonight Show when Johnny was the host as compared to now is that the percentage of the audience that was watching the show was much larger. Not because he was that much better. Of course, I'm a little biased. I think he was better. But there were only three networks, basically. There were only four or five networks when he went off the air. So for a comedian to get a shot on The Tonight Show, in a day, they could become a national celebrity. There were a lot of guys who I saw come on The Tonight Show, perform excellently, and a week later, they're in Las Vegas. So I'm sure that if you talk to Jeff, he will tell you that was probably a big part of his career. And I know Will and I were talking about this, Will Schreiner and I were talking about this morning, how these guys all went to The Tonight Show and were supportive of each other. They worked all the local comedy clubs in Los Angeles. I can remember seeing guys backstage, Jerry Seinfeld, David Letterman, even Jay Leno. They would be backstage with other comedians, wishing them on, hoping they were going to be successful, because they knew how important it was to have a successful shot with Carson and what that could lead to. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld, I mean, look at his career. It's amazing.
I remember he brought back Roseanne several times.
Roseanne?
She was, I don't know, she kept showing up, and I said, everybody must have, she must be something special. And she turned out to be quite successful in a sitcom for a very long run.
Yeah, she's the domestic goddess. There was a routine,
right.
You know?
Yeah, and that particular sardonic humor was actually pretty delightful. And the other part was to get a genuine laugh out of Johnny,
right,
from either a comedian or from any guest, and I think that warmed a lot of people's hearts.
Well, the guy that you saw on camera was the same guy. That's who he was in person, and he liked nothing better to see somebody be successful. He liked either the comedians to be successful or the performers to be successful. It was important for him that they were successful because it made the whole show successful.
We were talking earlier about how difficult stand-up is.
It is.
And it's got to be incredibly difficult. There was a time when there was a writer strike, and was Johnny writing his own material?
He did for a little bit.
And how difficult were those, kind of going back to stand-up again?
Well, I think it's really difficult. You know, he had a team of four or five writers who would provide him with X amount of jokes, and he would pick the 16 best jokes out of, you know, say 35, 40 jokes. And when all the jokes are being written by you, and it puts much more pressure on you to be successful. So I know that he did that for a few days, less than a week, and then decided that was just not going to work out. It's tough. It's really tough to do.
And how do you find, I suppose, just like any other industry where there's a strike, you find people to work with that may or are outside of the conflict. Where did he go for that?
Well, he did it himself. He didn't get anyone else to write for him, because that would be, you know, he couldn't do that for sure. But he had gone to some old material that he had and put some things together. And, you know, the idea is to make it look like you're winging the whole deal, but you're really not winging the whole deal. You've got some notes, and you know where you're going to go, and you know what you're going to say pretty much. So, but that's where he was really gifted. You know, he could look at a monologue and briefly see the first couple of words in each sentence and just stream it out and it sound like it was just coming right off the top of his head.
You talked a little bit about your own flying.
Right.
Did you ever fly with your uncle?
Yep, you bet. You bet. When he retired, we had an office in Santa Monica, and I live in Fullerton, which is about 40 miles to the southeast of Santa Monica. So from time to time, I would fly to Santa Monica in my 182 and pick him up and take him down to Bulletin for a $100 hamburger. It was great. It was really great.
So, I mean, we're not just talking about this was something they started in Teterboro and then kind of set aside. He kind of did it throughout his...
Well, no. He only didn't. He stopped in 64. He only flew for a little bit. You know, when he started in 63, he'd been the host of The Tonight Show for 1 year. The Tonight Show was an hour and 45 minutes at that time, 5 days a week. It's just all consuming for him. And you know, the fact that he kept this bag and the fact that he has had all these things in his closet, which I never saw, and he and I were very close friends, says to me that, that it meant a great deal to him to be able to accomplish this. And I know that he loved it. He loved flying with me, and I would always send him pictures on trips and send him pictures from Oshkosh, and he thought that was just the greatest thing in the world.
What's in the bag?
What's in the bag?
Yeah.
In his flight bag?
Yeah.
His flight bag is his log, all his different entries, which are like from 1962 to 1963. And I should tell you, too, that when I donated the bag to the museum, Tom Poberesny looked at the logbook and said, let's find out where that airplane is. And they did a search on the computer, and they knew where the guy was. They had the guy's telephone number. They had his email address. So Tom, right then and there, just picked up the phone and said, hi, this is Tom Poberesny from EAA. Give me a call. It turns out that the airplane was in Oshkosh last year. It's a 1963 172.
Oh.
The guy flew it out. His name is David Huffington. I hope it's Huffington. And it was at Aeroshell Square on opening day. I met with him. And he tells the story of receiving this phone call from Tom Poberesny,
yeah,
or message. And he said, I don't think this is really Tom. It's got to be somebody else. And then somebody else called up and said, Tom Poberesny is trying to call you. So he called.
I guess I'll believe it now.
Yeah, I believe it now. I guess my dues are up or something.
Yes.
And Tom asked him to bring the airplane out, and he did not know that Johnny learned to fly in that airplane. And it's funny, while the airplane was sitting on Aeroshell Square, a number of guys came by, and they knew that airplane. They had flown in the airplane, but they didn't know that Johnny flew in it. So it's kind of nice how everything's connected to flying. I like that about the EAA.
And I think that one thing that people always wonder about is the behind the scenes of a show like the Tonight Show. What did you most enjoy about working on that show?
Well, you know, the Tonight Show started in 62, and at that time, you did the show basically live. We started at 5:30, and it was over at 6 o'clock or at 7 o'clock. When you went to a commercial break, you went for 2 minutes and 5 seconds, and because you weren't able to stop and start, you just recorded the show and basically recorded it, rewound the tape, and 2 hours later played it back to the networks. And there was a rhythm because of this. We did the show that way all the way up until we ended in 1992. So every day at 5:30, it was a live show. And there's nothing better than doing a live show, and things are working great, and performers are working great. It's also nothing. There's nothing worse than having things go bad,
yeah,
and you just can't get out of the segment, and the segment goes on forever. You know, one of the things that we used to do was there was a clock on stage that we had set to 11:30. So when the show started, it was actually 5:30. The clock would say 11:30, and that would give Johnny a kind of a reference as to how far he is in the show, where the next commercial break is. And if things were going really bad and we had a guest who was really awful, we'd kind of block the clock and reach behind our back and move it back a couple of minutes. And you could see him look at the clock, but like, oh man, this segment is never going to end. And it was great. It was wonderful. It was very exciting to do live television. You know, we didn't sit around in the studio. We didn't do pickups. We didn't do make goods. We just did it live, and it was very, very, very exciting.
Well, I promise this segment will end. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate it.
Jeff Sutzing is the president of Carson Entertainment. He is Johnny Carson's nephew and was a producer on The Tonight Show.